Normally, we have Ben Fred Fridays, but with travel, the Cubs and Cardinals on Friday afternoon, and then you had Ben traveling home from Boston after Thursday night, we decided to push it back to the morning of Game 6 and what could be a historic day in St. Louis sports. Ben Fred Fridays presented by Henderson Water Cuddy. They're available 24/7. 365 days a year. The number to call, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400. Full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois, state, federal, municipal courts, and you can go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com, and with that, it has the most frequently asked questions for minor offenses, major offenses, and it's an easy walkthrough to help you navigate what you need to do and your next step in hiring Henderson Water Cuddy. Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, stltoday.com. I say historic. It could be magnificent. It could be amazing. It could be huge. The Blues, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, are one win away from the Stanley Cup and being the champions of the NHL. Ben, how do you put this in perspective, what our town and our city is going through as we're hours away from the drop of the puck at Enterprise Center?
Well, that's the challenge, Dan, trying to come up with the words to describe something that's never happened before. We are in the territory of firsts, of never has been done before, and that's when you're out, you know, searching for ways to make this seem real, because it is. It's hard to fathom, based for a lot of different reasons, this team's history, this fan base's long and tortured wait for this moment, and this team individually, this season's path to get here. You know, this is where this team thought it could be. This is where this team was built to have a chance to go, and here it is. It took the world's longest route to get there, and took quite a few, you know, stops in a ditch and then one incredible climb. And here they are. And they're a remarkable team that's captured the affection of a city. You know, there are people who have become fans during this run. There are people who were not fans of the team anymore, who have been pulled back in. It's remarkable. We could go through all the wild storylines of it, and we would need, you know, 2 hours at least to talk about, you know, the crazy characters on this team that have played a part in this. But I think, you know, it's crazy to think about this ahead of time, but you really feel like you're about to cover one of the biggest moments of your career. You know, I don't know that there will be a bigger game for the Blues than this one. Now, if they were to lose, then the next one becomes the biggest one. But these next two or one, the Blues would like to obviously win it at home. It will probably be one of the all-time biggest moments of these guys' lives. It will be one of the biggest moments of our lives, trying to capture it and cover it. And it's pretty wild, man. I never thought, I'll be honest, I didn't think I would ever cover the Blues winning a Stanley Cup. I figured it would happen, but, you know, maybe years and years and years down the line, just because it's been such a cruel bounce for the Blues in this arena. But here they are, and this team has a chance to become a legend. It has a chance to live forever. And that's not an exaggeration. These guys would be immortal if they were to find one win, one more win, and two chances against the Bruins, preferably at home in front of a sold-out crowd that has Super Bowl plus ticket prices and a whole city that's ready to party late into the evening.
You know, the thing that I think comes to mind with this game is that the Blues emotionally in Game 3, first Stanley Cup final game in years, I just didn't think that they were ready emotionally to play. I think they were caught up in the emotion of the fan base in the city, and it was new. And now they know how to deal with it. It'll be up to Craig Berube and his staff to keep the emotions in check. And it's a fine line, isn't it? Because you want them coming out like gangbusters and setting the tone in this game, but yet you don't want them to, you know, overplay it, get out of their comfort zone of doing the job and the task at hand, making mistakes because you're over aggressive. It really is a fine line. And to me, that's the key of the game. They forecheck better than anybody in the league Ryan O'Reilly, to me, has been the best player on the ice, and that includes Bennington, even though he's been really good too. Maybe just 1 and 1A, however you want to put it. But you have those things going, but keep the emotions in check, because there's going to be people in tears watching this game, and I'm being serious. You know, there's going to be fans going crazy because of their passion for this team, unlike anything we've ever seen in this town. So keeping the emotions in check, I think, in the first 5 to 10 minutes is really going to be key.
Yeah, I think they learned from the first game here. They were not happy with the way that went with game three, and they were pretty honest too about, you know, why they thought it happened. At least Craig Berube was. He felt like the moment got to them, and he felt like it was a little too big for them, and they were gripping sticks a little too tight, and they were a little too nervous, and it got away from them. And this team has that tendency, even dating back all the way to the start of the regular season. If you remember that game, it was such a buildup, and there was so much excitement, and they had that sold-out crowd at Ballpark Village, and they debuted this new-look team with all these additions that were meant to get the team to the Stanley Cup, and they just fell on their face. And they continue then to kind of search for an identity there, and it took some key changes like switching the team to Craig Berube as the coach and bringing in Jordan Bennington as the goaltender, and then they take off. But they do have a tendency, Dan, to want to play with no room on the rope. I mean, they like to back themselves into a corner before they play their best. So that tendency would suggest that they're going to have, you know, they're going to be a step slow tonight. Now, if they learn from game three, then they'll figure out a way around that. And the way they finished off the Sharks after the hand pass, then we've seen how this team can rise up and close out like Blues teams in the past have not. So the big question for me tonight is, what did they learn from game three? Because there's going to be all this pomp and circumstance. There's going to be these amazing videos and there's going to be, you know, hair's going to be standing up on end, and the crowd's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. But when the puck drops, how quickly can they just get to their game? Because if they can do that, then I think the Bruins they're not going to roll over. I mean, they're too good. But they are, you know, aware of their situation. They know how hard it is to win two consecutive games in this series against this team, and one of them has to be, you know, away from their home ice. So I think how the game starts is really critical. The Blues have been unlike any other team we've seen in scoring early. You know, they score almost a minute into the games in some of these games, and they do score a minute into the games. And if they can do something like that, if they can, you know, give the crowd something to chew on, give them something to be excited about, and not have that kind of sense of dread and doom start creeping in early, I think that's a big key. They also just, you know, have to do exactly what got them to this point. You know, the Blues have ramped up their hitting every series until this one. Their average of hits per game has gone up, up, up. And they've gotten some guys suspended because of it in this series. Now with Barbashev, earlier it was Sundquist. They don't change. They just put somebody else in there, and he goes out and hits somebody too. It's a physical series both ways, but I do think, just like they did to the Sharks, they are grinding down the Bruins. The Bruins are the best team they've played, but the same approach is working. If you forecheck hard, if you finish your hits through the body, if you're relentless in making them pay physically, then they don't want to match up well with that. The Bruins initially thought they did. I mean, you remember Torrey Krug talking about, we can take a punch in the face and punch right back after game one, after he levels Robert Thomas. Well, I don't think the Bruins, you know, are really built to play that way, not against the Blues. And I think it's worn them down over the course of the series. So if they can do that, if they can stick with what got them here, then they've got a great shot.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. STLCriminalDefense.com. Check it out. That's STLCriminalDefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. How about the loss of Barbashev? How big do you think that is?
It's big. I don't think it's as big as the loss of Oscar Sundquist, though, because he was just he's been a monster in the postseason. But Barbashev has been one of their most physical players. You know, the good news for the Blues is it looks like, you know, we're recording this right before morning skate. So, you know, people will have a better idea soon. But it looks like Robert Thomas is going to be ready to go. So getting Robert Thomas back in, you know, from that wrist injury that he's been trying to rush back from, which really got compounded, I think, after the hit by Torrey Krug in game one. The team says no, but it's hard to believe that he took that hit and then immediately stepped out for, you know, the remainder of the series, except for game six, if he's back tonight. So I think having him back will help a lot. We watched him skate yesterday at practice. He looked good, handling the puck well, moving well. He looked like he's gotten a lot better with some downtime. So that should help level that out a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, to see how the league has officiated, you know, this particular series. I mean, you didn't see a suspension on Boston earlier with a player that leaves his feet on a hit, and yet you got a couple of suspensions in this game. Egregious is the way that it's been called by some in the Blues front office. And you had Cassidy on the other side that was upset with the officiating on a no call on a trip. How do you think the league has handled what's happened on the ice?
Well, the league's officiating is a mess. And that doesn't, you'll agree with that no matter which team you pull for, right, or which team you cover. The Blues, you know, the Blues had the missed hand pass that cost them a game last series. The Bruins have certainly benefited from some calls. You know, it's funny to me that Barbashev is going to miss a game here for a hit that wasn't penalized. That's got to think rare in a Stanley Cup final. I saw this yesterday. The writer who covers the Bruins for the Boston Globe researched this. The Blues are the first team to ever have multiple players suspended in a Stanley Cup final. And now this is the funny part, though, is whatever side you're on, you view that through a different lens. The Bruins fans will say, of course, you know, that shows how dirty the Blues are. And the Blues will say that shows how we're getting the short end of the stick with the officiating. But I think there are a few key moments in this series. One was that hit on Krug, that hit on Robert Thomas by Torrey Krug, because I think that sent a message to the Blues that, okay, these guys want to match your physicality. And I think, too, it sent a message to the officials. Okay, these teams want to bang each other around, and they want us to just call the most obvious penalties, so we're going to try to do that. That style benefits the Blues, and it certainly has been the case. Ever since Craig Berube really called out the officials before game three, he said, we're being penalized, or before game four, I'm sorry, he said, we're being penalized unfairly at a rate that is astonishing if you look at other postseasons. Now, he didn't go full Bruce Cassidy where he went, you know, complete whiner, but he said it very subtly. And for a guy who never, ever comes at the officials, it was, you know, it kind of was the same as a manager who never gets tossed going out there and getting fired up. It meant something, I think, because Craig Berube has never really criticized the officials. And all he said was, look, we're the least penalized teams in terms of penalty minutes per game in all the series leading up to this one. So how is it that we're now getting, you know, so many penalties per game? We haven't changed what we're doing. And I think the officials took that in stride a little bit. I think they did adjust some things a little bit. I think they did say, look, let's just call what we see that's completely obvious, and let's let these guys play, because they both seem willing to just go out there and you know, hit each other and have us only stop what's what's really across the line. And ever since then, that's been the case. And now the Bruins, who seem to welcome that style initially, are now saying, well, this is crazy. They're changing how they're calling penalties. And they're doing it with guys like, you know, Marchand, who goes at players' knees, who has delivered multiple questionable hits in this series and not been penalized for them. It's kind of hard for the Bruins to play both sides of this because they want to hit too, but then they want to, you know, have the Blues punished when a guy gets clipped pretty good. There's a really fascinating kind of back and forth here going on. It'll be interesting to see how Cassidy's comments affect this game, game six. Now, they've probably already to some degree affected the suspension of Barbashev. It wasn't too long after that all of a sudden Barbashev was under review. I don't think the Bruins have had a hit reviewed. At least it hasn't gotten out if they have. It's worth pointing out that the Bruins leadership has officials on the committee that oversees the reviews of these hits. That's just common sense to point that out. You know, the Bruins have more influence on the league than probably any other team in hockey. So when you're factoring some of this in, think about some of the ties here. I'm not saying that they're calling in savers, but you got to understand whose voices are in the room, whose voices are a part of the process. If you want to know why they're talking about it a certain way on the broadcast, on the national broadcast, look at where some of the people come from. Some of these guys are former Bruins players. Some of these people formerly covered the Bruins in that market. So there's a lot of kind of Bruins-centered coverage of this series, and it's interesting how that may or may not affect the officiating now that it's down here at crunch time. You see it in the conversation about that game. You know, that tripping that Tyler Bozak had, it was a penalty. I think it was probably a missed penalty. I don't think it was nearly as bad as what it was portrayed. You know, the league had a comment about it being a judgment call, but the story from that game anywhere outside of St. Louis has been about the trip and getting away with it. And I'm telling you, the story of that game was Jordan Binnington, who once again continues to, you know, choke out an opponent as the game starts to come down the home stretch. The Bruins had chances to win that game after that penalty. They couldn't score on Jordan. They got one goal, and then he shut them down again. So comparing that penalty to the hand pass to me was crazy. The hand pass for San Jose had ended the game. It was on an overtime goal winner that the Blues did not have a chance to counter because it ended the game. And then look at what happened after it. The Blues outscored the Sharks 12-2. So the Bruins have had their adversity here. I'm not saying that they didn't get punished by a missed call. They absolutely did. But it's about how they respond now. And watching how the officials handle Game 6 is going to be, I think, a big story here, unfortunately, for the league. And that's the real shame for the league. They have let officiating become a story, a massive story in this postseason. And they've got to try to figure out a way to enhance replay so the obvious that the fan sees at home isn't missed. And they've got to try to figure out a way to evaluate, I think, what the best way to officiate these games is. I don't know that having that many guys on the ice is the answer. I think maybe you take one off and put him on the side of the rink with every replay review in the world and have him help his guys on the ice with the benefit of technology.
Henderson Watercutty brings you Ben Fred Fridays, and in this case, Ben Fred Sunday, and a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. The guys at Henderson Watercutty, their entire team, all from St. Louis, they care about the city, the states, the metro area, and this is dealing with state, federal, or municipal courts. The number to call, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400, or stlcriminaldefense.com. One last time, Charles Glenn tonight. What do you think the emotions are going to be with the anthem?
Oh, man. They've been part of the thing that gets the place rocking for a while now. And he always does an amazing job since the story's gotten out about this being his last time. I think people have a new appreciation for it. There's a sense of let's savor this while we can. and then, you know, the story of the Blues kind of almost, you know, loving this idea of him getting another game has been pretty fun. And the Blues are in on this, man. They know what this means to Charles. They know him. And they love the fact that they have given him, you know, more games to work than he probably, like all of us, expected. So he's a champ, man. He has been everywhere. I've never seen the guy not be happy when someone yells out his name and wants to meet him. Pretty impressive to just be around him and observe him. But I'm happy for him. And I think, you know, no pun intended, everybody wants to see him go out on a high note.
Well, I hired him to play my wedding. I knew Charles when I was doing the St. Louis Blues, and where I was situated is where he walks out to go do the anthem. And so got to know Charles, and I said, hey, I don't know what you're charging, but I'd love to have you sing at my wedding in the band. And he goes, Dan, whatever you need. You know, he's got that high-pitched voice and a smile and a hug and a handshake, and you're right. I've never, ever seen him be upset or not gracious. Just an amazing man. So you know that's going to get the crowd fired up, and everybody knows that it'll be his last time tonight. What do you think the emotions are like? I'm going to ask you for a couple of people here, but the guy that wears number 7, Pat Maroon, the St. Louis native from Oakville, who sent the Blues into the Western Conference Finals with his OT goal in Game 7 against Dallas. What do you think that's going to be like tonight?
Yeah, unreal for him. and
yes,
probably something that he's trying to compartmentalize as much as he can. I got to give Pat Maroon a lot of credit, man. He, like a lot of these guys, went through a phase this season where it was fair to wonder if he was going to be around by the end. You know, there was the big debate earlier this season about if he was going to be around for his own bobblehead night. It was kind of a real question. They announced this date where they were going to, you know, do the big rig celebration, and, you know, he wasn't playing very well. And there was all this talk about Doug Armstrong shaking up the team to send a message. And you wondered if Pat Maroon might be on his way out. And to see what he's done since then is nothing short of remarkable. And beyond that, he has become, I think, one of the more stronger voices on this team. Pat Maroon has a sense, unlike any other guy in that room, of what this means to St. Louis. And he hasn't backed away from it. And I give him a lot of credit for that. The easiest thing for him to say would be, look, I want to win a Stanley Cup, and it wouldn't matter if I win it, you know, here, there, or wherever, and it's one game at a time, and all those silly things that we hear that we know aren't true. Pat Maroon has told the truth. Pat Maroon has said, I want to win in St. Louis. It's the reason I'm here, and I have an understanding of what it would mean. And this guy, Dan, he goes through and took the national media before, earlier in this series. He had a few national reporters in the room trying to get a feel of, you know, what's St. Louis feeling like, what's the buzz. And I sat there and watched him walk through what we know as guys who live in this area and who cover these teams, what we know to be true. He basically explained the feeling of losing the Rams. He explained the frustration of the Blues falling out of the gate. He explained how St. Louis is really trying to get some traction going, get more people downtown, and how there's, you know, the need for the Blues to take a step. You know, the Cardinals have set a standard. The Blues are riding this high, but they want to finish things off. And they, you know, talked about how he hated the way the Rams portrayed St. Louis, talked about how he loves that they're trying to get a soccer team. I mean, this guy, he sounded like he was like running for an office, and he would have won. I mean, he gets it, and he's lived it. And I think his willingness to let that become part of this story instead of reject it has been wise, because, you know, he is the everyday St. Louisan who's playing for the Blues. You know, he's also a great teammate. He's been a cornerstone of the team in terms of this postseason. You can't say anything bad about the guy, and he's at his core, he's just a kid from St. Louis. I mean, you see that in how he greets fans and how he talks to folks, and when he goes to, you know, his son's school and greets kids. I mean, it's like he's understanding the moment, he's appreciating it, and he knows what this win would mean. And I think that's the kind of guy that becomes a player who's never forgotten. I mean, that's really what we're talking about with these guys. This is a chance for these guys to become players who are remembered forever. And that's not lightly. I mean, that's something that grandparents are going to tell their grandkids about. You know, their uniforms, their sweaters will be Stanley Cup winners and timeless forever. I mean, you're talking about, I talked with Carl Gunnarsson about this the other day in the dressing room. And I said, you guys realize that If you win the Stanley Cup, that moment in Boston where you're at a urinal standing next to Craig Berube and you tell him going into overtime, if I get one more shot, I'm going to end it. But that is a scene in this movie of a season. And he goes, yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but I guess you're right. It's funny how, you know, certain moments jump out. And, you know, Maroon scoring that goal on Ben Bishop is a moment. It has to be. It is St. Louis versus St. Louis on the biggest stage to push the Blues through. I mean, it has to be, you know, one of the chapters of the book. And there are so many amazing ones of them that it's going to have to be written. I mean, these guys, I know I've worn this line out, but it's so true, Dan. You couldn't make it up. And they've got a million examples of it. And Pat Maroon is an amazing one.
And then finally, I'm curious what you think this run has done. You touched upon it a little bit, but you know all the writers around the nation. But, you know, as we all are, we're proud to be from here. We've taken a kick in the gut with the Rams. But now the national narrative hopefully is getting out there after Belle Reve and the PGA Championship. Everybody knows about the Cardinals. The fact that soccer is making an impact potentially. And now this Blues run. What do you think this has done from the national perspective of how St. Louis is viewed as a city?
Well, I think it hopefully has opened up some eyes to the picture that the Rams painted being a flawed and manipulative one. I don't know that there's anything that St. Louis can do about that other than prove it wrong. I've thought about that a little bit in this. And, you know, I wrote – I think one kind of line about this team being a better representation of anything the Rams were under Stan Kroenke. And that's really all I've said about it, because I don't want to, this team doesn't deserve to be soured by, you know, trolling up old feelings about the Rams. But I do appreciate that some folks are realizing that, you know, this is how it works in St. Louis. When you have a team that has ownership that cares, that wants to be a part of what's going on here, that doesn't just view it as, you know, another business, and that this is how it happens. You have a true kinship with the team and the city, and it supports, you know, it's supported by the other teams and the other businesses in the city, and this is how it's supposed to work. And this is exactly what Stan Kroenke's, you know, relocation paperwork said wasn't possible. That's the point. It's not that St. Louis is mad because the Rams left. Yeah, sure they are. Absolutely, 100%. But it was the picture that the Rams painted in that relocation paperwork that really was the most, you know, enraging part of that whole process. And everyone, it seems, outside of this has missed that, except for one guy who is from St. Louis and who wrote it, thankfully, for ESPN. And I know you read it. We've talked about it. Nick Wagner's story on ESPN this week, the website, he spent a week plus here going around talking to key figures about St. Louis, about the Blues, about the Rams. And really, I think for the first time by someone in the national media got it. And he wrote the hell out of it. And he's a friend of mine, and I'm biased as hell, but I don't care. Everyone should read it. And I hope that someone sends it to Dan Wetzel and says, hey, you missed it. And here's the real story. Because this is what's going on here. And the stuff that he wrote leading up to the Super Bowl, it was wrong. And I respect him as a journalist, and he's written a million things that I go, hell yeah, that's dead on. And what he wrote was wrong. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people read that and probably took it as fact. And thankfully, there's been a little bit of a correction in terms of some of the coverage. And I think that's appreciated. I mean, we write it and we try to set the record straight. But at the end of the day, Dan, I'm writing for people in here. You know, I'm not writing trying to sway the national narrative of this place. But different people have different views, different roles. And I think Wagner hit a home run in writing about what this really has meant to St. Louis and what St. Louis was going through. He didn't sugarcoat stuff. I mean, he pointed out the problems, and Lord knows we got them. But it's not that bleak, you know, forsaken landscape that the Rams wanted everyone to believe it was. And credit to him for capturing it. Credit to the Blues for allowing stories like this to be written, because, you know, this is a team that operates in a way that a city should support. I mean, Tom Stillman, I'm not kidding, guys. When you see him before and after these games, he is just like you. He is jittery. He's after the big win, he's got tears in his eyes. He's a fan in the best way. He cares. And he lives and dies with this stuff, and he wants nothing more than this team to, you know, to push through for the fans. And I think that, you know, it's such a fascinating comparison when you look at how the Blues operate, how the Cardinals and Blues support one another, how they're hoping to welcome MLS into the fold here. And in some ways, you know, years from now, maybe you look back and say, hey, you know, maybe the Rams, you know, kind of hatching in the back of St. Louis kind of made St. Louis value and respect what it has and really push to make improve it. I think that's the main thing is you don't do things to spite the Rams, but when someone challenges your pride and challenges your leadership and your direction, then if you don't respond in a way that you know proves that false, then they were right. And I think St. Louis has responded in the right way, and I'm glad that it's getting some play finally.
Couldn't agree more. Ben, enjoy the game tonight. Can't wait to read your stuff tomorrow, one way or another, win or lose, and we'll catch up. Well, this week we'll catch up on Friday for sure.
Well, sounds good, brother. And hey, I think you're going to be there too. I don't want to give too much away, but I hope to see you down there and enjoy it with your family, man. You don't get a chance to go to many games as a spectator with family in tow. So I hope you have a great time.
It's history. It could be amazing. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Talk soon, buddy.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.